Mike Conti joins us at this time on Tuesdays to talk all things Atlanta sports. We'll get to some Hawks summer league in just a little bit, but training camp starts on Thursday. Mike, how are you?
I'm excited. Yeah, I'm good. How are you guys?
Very well.
Outstanding.
It's going to be hot.
Yep.
It's going to be a lot of fun, though. It's my understanding that the first 3 days of camp, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, they've sold out their ticket allotment. So I think that shows the fans are anxious.
We had a caller yesterday who's going, I think Thursday or maybe Sunday. I don't remember what day it was. But he called and he had never been.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to know if we had any advice for folks that hadn't been before as far as like when to show up, what to bring, all that kind of stuff. And I don't know. I think we did a pretty good job giving him advice.
Yeah, but I heard that. Hydrate is my advice.
Tap into your expertise as well.
I mean, I feel like this is probably – boy, I mean, this goes back to when I worked at the old place. I think 2009 was my first training camp. So, I mean, that's does that mean this is my 16th?
A few.
Wow. Now, COVID, I guess that really doesn't count.
Yeah, we weren't there for a couple of years.
A training camp for the lockout back in, 2011, I want to say. Mm-hmm. They wiped out a camp and preseason. But, hydrate is my advice. I mean, it's really hot out there. They do have, I think, some food and drink for sale.
Yeah, they do.
And I'd bring a pen, you know, if you want autographs, there's a really good chance to get one.
There's nothing. And I mean, I know you do it for the fans, but there's nothing worse than somebody without a pen. There's nothing worse. So I actually
What's the player supposed to do?
Like, just got done practicing.
Because they usually have like the community people. They have Sharpies with them. They did give to you.
Yeah.
But before then, he's like, hey, can I borrow your pen real quick?
Yeah.
Like, dude, I'm trying.
No,
to
I've been out there running around for 2 hours. I don't have a pen on me.
I'm trying to get into that locker room, man. But yeah, it's always funny when they do that. I mean, and this will be all our first time seeing the new setup and everything. That's why we went out there last year. I said they should put a pavilion over the hill.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe that's what they're going to do one day.
I don't know.
Because you would only use it for training camp.
Yeah.
I mean, once you get into the season, that hill is just kind of there. So, but, you know, those apartments that they built in back, I think those are generally used only for training camp.
Maybe some rookies or somebody that don't got no
place. Maybe, but not all of them, certainly.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, they've definitely spent a lot of money on the infrastructure there on both sides of that building because they built out the Ticketmaster studio on one side, and then they built out a facility for Emory attached to the indoor practice. They used to call it the barn. I don't know if they call it that anymore. And now, to Andy's point, they've put the weight room where we used to do our broadcasts. So now we're broadcasting in front of the weight room. So if you haven't been up there in a couple of years, it's going to look a lot different. I think it was really unfortunate that they could not have fans there last year. I think, honestly, that hurt a little bit of the buzz going into that season. Mm-hmm. There's just something missing when fans can't attend training camp. So the fact that they're going to be up there again this weekend and we're going to be a part of it too, all very, very exciting for us.
As far as storylines go, obviously, you know, we know who the starting quarterback is.
Yeah.
We know who the backup quarterback is.
Yeah.
There's a couple different position battles and all of that. But just sort of as training camp is about to start on Thursday, what are two or three of the big headline stories you're looking at?
I think still, you know, there's going to be chatter about Cousins being a happy camper, pardon the pun, because it is training camp. And I think there are going to be a lot of eyes and probably a lot of over-analysis on, ooh, you know, Cousins and Penix, they're standing 6 feet apart. That could be a sign of tension or something really silly like that. Yeah, I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago. I was actually nervous about this quarterback documentary coming out because, is something going to happen on that show that's going to become a storyline that's going to have to be asked about in camp? I'll be curious to see if the Falcons – they've already made Cousins available to the media this summer.
Right.
Are they going to try to get it out of the way at camp and make him available straight away, on Thursday, and just get it out of the way? I don't think that would necessarily be a bad idea. Like, whatever you have to do to throw cold water on any type of, is there a controversy here with Kirk Cousins? Is he unhappy? Looking angry in the quarterback room or something like that. Like, these are all silly distractions that I'd like to see squelched pretty quickly. I think other than that, look, I mean, yes, there are going to be a position battle here or there and That happens in every training camp. What I'm looking for the most in this first week, especially, I don't think they're going to be hitting the first couple days. They generally don't. Just stay healthy.
Yes.
You know, stay healthy. Unfortunately, we've seen it not just with the Falcons, but in training camps around the league. You know, you get that awful non-contact injury to someone somewhere in the NFL in the first couple days, and you just don't want it to be here in Atlanta. So stay healthy. Hopefully everyone took care of their bodies between minicamp and now. I'm sure they did. And I think there's a lot of optimism and excitement, and you want to see a certain level of sharpness and crispness in these first couple days of training camp that will validate those positive thoughts coming into the season.
Do you think Cody Bufkin has solidified himself as a backup point guard because of what he did in Vegas?
Not because of what he did in Vegas, okay. Because the Hawks haven't signed anyone else. So
you think they were waiting to see, maybe, or because there's not too many people out there.
No, I mean, they're who are you going to get at this point?
Russell Westbrook.
Still available.
He is still available. Actually, Trey would probably love that.
As a Thunder fan.
He grew up idolizing Brody.
Right.
I think Chris Paul's still available, too.
Did he sign? Yeah, signed with the Clippers yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yep.
To be the third point guard.
Homecoming, I guess.
Yeah,
he's been on so many teams.
He's been on a lot of teams. He's close to the rainbow challenge that Dennis Schroeder is.
But that was probably like the most fun part of his career with Lob City, I guess. I don't know.
I honestly have a soft spot for when he was with the New Orleans Hornets because I cover those teams. Yeah.
Those teams are good.
That 2007 Hornets team, when they had David West in prime and Tyson Chandler and Peja Stojakovic, they just got really unlucky that the Spurs and Lakers were in their path because that should have been a conference finalist team at least. I think Kobe Bufkin's going to be the backup point guard. The Hawks are obviously very high on him, but they weren't. They would have gone out. They would have signed someone by now. He did play great in Vegas.
He did.
You want to see him dominate in the summer league because he's playing against mostly G Leaguers and non-NBA guys. Mm-hmm. So if he did not go out there and dominate, I'd be really worried. He went out there. He did what he was supposed to do. Look, I know there are some strong feelings about Kobe Bufkin being the backup point guard for the Hawks. I've heard some of it on this station. I thought when he was healthy last year, he was more than serviceable. He was okay. If the Hawks are in a position where the backup point guard
is a problem,
is going to have to play a ton of minutes, you've got a much bigger problem because that means Trae Young is not playing. So, I don't know what the financial situation and the number of total roster spots are and everything, and if the Hawks have room to do anything else at this point. But I think collectively we should get used to the notion of Kobe Bufkin being the backup point guard for this team. And I don't think it had anything to do with what he did in Las Vegas.
With now a little bit of time to react to and think about what all they did in the offseason and free agency and the trades they made and stuff. And we had Porzingis on a couple weeks ago, and he said he thinks they could be sneaky good in the East. I would go a little further than that. Yeah, I don't think it's sneaky. Yeah. I don't think you're going to sneak up on anybody.
I think they're on everyone's radar.
Yeah, how would you put it?
Yeah, I've heard, again, on this station, I think a lot of people are setting the ceiling at the 4 seed. I think that's reasonable. I don't think the Hawks have a better roster than Cleveland. I think it's probably close with Orlando and Detroit, but I probably lean and give the edge to Orlando and Detroit being slightly better than the Hawks. But I think the Hawks absolutely can compete in this Eastern Conference. And if they stay healthy, if you get 60-plus games from Porzingis, which is a big, big if.
That's a big if.
And if it works out well from the chemistry standpoint, that's always a mystery that more often than not, it does work, but sometimes you never know. I can see this team winning 50 games. I think it's absolutely possible, but everything needs to go right. And what scares me still is if one thing goes wrong, I still don't think there's enough organizational depth. But you went out and you swung hard and you got Porzingis, and I think Kennard is a good pickup, and I think Nikhil Alexander-Walker is a really good pickup. I think 1 through 8, the Hawks are going to be just fine. Quinn Snyder usually plays 9-man rotations. What scares me is what we talked about. If you have an injury to one of your frontline guys, do you feel comfortable now that you can go 10, 11, 12 deep into this roster and still be competitive? And I don't know. But that's also something that you can address down the line during the season with trades. And you have, I think, Anze Salah did a really good job with what he put together here. You have tradable assets. You have a lot of players in the last year of their contract. These are tradable assets that if you have to do something midway through the year to address a need that pops up, I think the Hawks are going to be well positioned to do that.
Are Atlanta United sellers right now, Mike?
Yes.
Okay.
100%
And the reason why is?
Because.
Are they trying to get money back, players back?
No, they're trying to fix the team.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The team's not good.
Right.
And they're trying to fix it. And they're going to have to open up roster spots in order to fix it. I think that's why you saw Mateus Kliek. I don't know if it was a buyout or waiving him. I think they waived him. Okay, that opens up an international spot. Now, that we already know that this Albanian center back, Mihai, is coming in. So I'm guessing that creates the international spot to bring him in. There was the trade with Efrain Morales. They're going to get, or I guess pending. I don't know if that's been announced yet or not, or if it's still cooking. But it sounds like Atlanta United could get quite a bit of money as a result of that trade. That would allow them to go out and maybe spend that money in this window on someone else. But, yeah, they're absolutely selling right now. They have 11 matches to go. They've only won 4 games. They're not going to the playoffs. It's been a dreadful year. They've got to start fixing the team. That will start. I believe you will see another announcement later this week probably of another high-profile player leaving, maybe 2 or 3 more. They have to fix the team. The only way to do it in a salary cap league is to sell off whatever you can. The problem is there's not a lot of demand out there right now for most of the guys on this team. So that is going to be a problem. You could have this plan like, okay, let's sell off this guy, this guy, this guy. No one wants him.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, then you're stuck.
Shockingly similar to the Braves situation. Everyone wants
Atlanta United situation's worse.
Is it worse?
Because
I was going to ask
it's worse.
Because we came into the season with expectations for both.
No,
and Atlanta United spent all this money and went out and got all these guys. They got 4 wins.
Let me tell you why it's worse. Because the Braves season is not over yet. Maybe I am crazy, but I think if you look at the standings and time remaining in the season, there is the potential for the Braves to get hot. And maybe sneak in. And if you make the right moves here coming up, you know, it sounds like Ozuna being traded is a foregone conclusion. I think Grant made a good point on with Dukes and Bell. It was yesterday or 2 days ago. You know, trading Ozuna, you're looking maybe to acquire controllable assets, but not necessarily do anything that's going to make a huge difference this year. But I still think there's enough racetrack left in the Braves season where maybe they can get back into this. Atlanta United is completely out of it. You know, they have 11 games left. They're 13 points below the playoff line. They're going to be playing for Leagues Cup. So they are in. And then on top of it, you've invested a lot of money in long-term deals for some designated players who have not worked out. And it's going to be very, very hard to even break even. It's not good business, really, at this point to try to get rid of a Miguel Almiron or a Latte Lott. So Atlanta United situation is way, way worse than the Braves right now, way more dire. But they are starting the process of trying to fix the team, and I think that needs to be noted. It's not like they're just resting on their laurels and, the season's over, so see you in January. That's not the case. They are trying to fix this team. So, we've seen Atlanta United last year with Pedro Amador and a couple years ago with Emerson Hyneman and Justin Miram. They've made some impactful moves. Eric Rometty in 2018. They've made some impactful moves in the summer transfer window that have really helped. Let's see if these moves end up helping them.
We will see. Mike, thank you.
Appreciate it, Mike.
Okay,
appreciate
guys.
Appreciate it as always.